Drawing room over here.
You made it. Oh, come on through. Do you fancy drink? What's your tipple? Welcome to The Drawing Room, a space for intimate and surprising conversations. I'm Andy Park. Across a remarkable body of work, Carlos Regadas has built a reputation as one of the more intriguing directors working today. Celebrated around the world, including at Cannes, where he has received the Best Director Award. Natalia Lopez Gallardo's debut, Robe of Gems, is gathering similar compliments, garnering critical acclaim and winning the Silver Bear Award at the Berlin Film Festival. Natalia and Carlos have worked together across a number of films. Natalia has edited many of Carlos's works and they co-starred in Our Time. They also happen to be husband and wife, and they're my guests tonight here in the drawing room. Natalia and Carlos, come on in, take a seat.
Thank you, Andy. We are very pleased to be here.
Let's start with a fairly big question, a fairly philosophical one, shall we say. What is the role of cinema? What purpose should a film have, Natalia?
I think that film is for experiencing life somehow. Like, it's not for reaching to receive a story, but to experience with the body. And I think that the goal of a film is to transmit ideas more than stories.
What about you, Carlos? Do you think the role of a film is to challenge, to entertain, or something in between?
I think it's the idea is to make life richer somehow, not through entertainment necessarily, but mostly through the activation of a sense of mystery and awe somehow, something that can accompany us for a long period of time, hopefully.
So if a film is about experience rather than about a story, what does that mean for how you approach a film?
I think it comes from a desire of a form, like something totally abstract. It could be an image, could be a feeling, could be a situation, imagined situation or whatever. I think that the point of start could be whatever is the seed and the desire of something that you construct later with your own imagination, your memory, your actual life.
I would say it's basically a intuition rather than a clear-cut program on let's do a film about this and that with this and those characters or such a conflict and such a plot. There's an intuition for something, like a desire that somehow is blurred. It's hidden in fog. And you just want to somehow break through the fog, and there's a permanent purpose of discovery while you are at that place, and not knowing exactly what is it that you're doing, but you do feel the urge to share. Yes,
and it's a process of develation. No, like you start to recognize what are you doing. In the process, where are you heading? No?
I like this idea of being led into the fog and with only your intuition to lead you. Has your intuition ever led you astray into the wrong path, Carlos?
Well, I think intuition is, of course, it's closely connected with reasoning. They work differently, but they are nearby. So when intuition feels right or feels wrong, so whenever when intuition is not leading you to a coherent place, in a place that is probably beyond logical coherence, but there's still coherence, then reason rings a bell and or an alarm, and then you check, and then yes, of course, indeed you can be led astray, but the only in a sense, because probably where reason is leading you is not astray, it's reasonable, but it's probably a less interesting place than a place where you're lost or in confusion. You can make mistakes, but you don't have to be afraid of being astray in intuition, because this process of creating with intuition is similar to, you know, the process of probably dreaming. So when you're dreaming, you're by definition astray, if you want. But that is that is precisely the point of dreaming. So I think, yeah, creation should be more there than in the place of reason.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. Nothing is illogical in your dreams, that's for sure. Natalia, where did you start when it came to Robe of Gems? You've been an editor and an actor. Why was this story, and what about this story drew you to sit in the director's chair?
I had a deep desire to do a film, like, long ago. But the moment just came to me 6 years ago. And I didn't know clearly what the film was about. So I start searching. I knew that it was related to this tragedy that is happening in Mexico long ago, related to the violence in its many and diverse manifestations, feminicides and narcotraffic. But I didn't know exactly what was the film about. So I start interviewing people and searching and reading and feeding myself with documentaries and a lot of material around this theme. And the film born at some point, I think, when I was interviewing people, especially mothers that had missing children. And at the first time, I thought it's going to be impossible for me to transmit this real, deeply and complex pain without being capable to feel in it, to be close to that wound. And I felt somehow guilty of that and failing of searching the film. But at some point I realized that every Mexican have a wound, and we all share the same wound in different dimensions and from the place we are living. So I start exploring that wound in myself, and that was the moment that the film born, I think.
And in fact, Natalia, you found several of your actors while researching this film. Was it because of that sense of, I think you used the word guilt in terms of portraying the accuracy and the depth or the profundity of those experiences, that you had to hear them from those people's real life experiences?
Yeah, I think that in the process of research, you feed yourself a lot with the stories of the people, with the things you listen, you see, you hear, you experience. And then in the moment that when you write the film, as Carlos said, you're guided by intuition, and all those things that you have read and hear and see are there. But the result of that and the things you're writing are another thing. It's another world, like being born in that moment. And I think that the casting is for the director somehow. You're not searching for the best actor or the best actress, but you're looking for a person which whom you can open yourself and you feel that person opening to you, and you start up a complicity, a relationship of trust with the other, and of course you're looking for a certain presence and certain energy of a person, but I think it's a test to you to being able to communicate and open with another human being.
Carlos, you often work with non-professional actors as well. Is it for the same reasons that Natalia was sort of talking about there, in terms of testing yourself to encourage the best performance out of a non-professional?
That's part of it, but no, I think the primary reason is that I am interested in. I think cinema has the capacity of conveying the presence of an actual individual. Human or object, even an object, any being whatsoever, And the moment when you have someone acting, representing a character, you stop seeing the actual human, the individual, behind this acting. So I care much more about the casting than the process of acting itself. I actually think that acting is something that is not within the strongest capacities or potential of cinema.
How do you view your relationship with the audience? You both keep some of the answers off screen or in the shadows, if you like. You give hints rather than certainty. That feels like it requires a certain trust with the viewer, Natalia.
I think that life is full of mystery, and I think that is the force that keep us attached with reality. I think we're in experiencing life, you don't understand things immediately. Nothing has a clear meaning. And I think that's a wonderful and that's the richness of life and experience. So I think that's a mystery is a super important element in cinema, that it's the art of experience for me and experiencing with the body. So it's important to leave things open as in reality. But Carlos have a lot of theories about it and very interesting ones.
Ah, I'd love to hear them, Carlos. Oh,
I don't know, I'm not sure about that. No, I mean, basically I would say just the concept of the audience as if we were talking about an entity, sort of, I don't know, maybe a monster that is crawling around. It's a strange concept, which basically what it means is the majority of people viewing a film, probably. The point is that there's audiences for everything. And what I personally do is I am not a typical audience member, I would think, because most of the people most of the films that are very well liked, usually I probably don't feel the same way. Or the other way around. I like films that are not liked by huge crowds. So I suppose as a filmmaker, I respond to that. And so the point is that it's all a matter of diversity, really. If you're not thinking about what the majority of the crowd wants, then you enrich the diversity. And I think that is the richness of life itself, you know, that we have all sorts of entities, inputs, emotions around us. And cinema has been more and more driven into something which is very equal to everything else, very similar, and diversity has been lost. Diversity of forms, diversity of subjectiveness, of visions, shapes, and, you know, like this power of conveying individual vision of life or the way of the different ways of experiencing and feeling. So yes, I'm interested in that. So I'm sure there's some audience members that appreciate films like this, and of course this will not be majorities, but that's all right. True diversity requires things for minorities, you know, I mean, technically speaking. Otherwise, we would only have one thing, and that would be what the majority wants. But what would happen with the minority, that they just wouldn't have anything at all for themselves, for them to feel it or to experience, to watch? So yes, well, I think I respond to that that way of feeling because I'm an audience member too.
Well, as they say, you can't please all the people all the time. On ABCRN, I'm Andy Park. The directors and writers Carlos Regadas and Natalia Lopez Gallardo are my guests here in the drawing room. Talk to me about the visual language in your films. There are some remarkable techniques. You pull away from faces to the bodies or the hands of your characters. The ground or the sky becomes the focus in crucial moments. There are long still shots and slow motion. How does the visual language inform the story and impact the movie for you, Natalia?
The strength of cinema is in the form. I think that a correct and simple example is Van Gogh. Van Gogh, like, transmits his vision through the form. It's kind of obvious, but he perceives the background deformed, And that background deformed, treated with certain technique and light and movement and everything, make us perceive the vision of the man behind the sunflowers. And I think that the form, the using of the cinematic language that conforms the form, it's transmitting the vision, the heart of the filmmaker behind. So for me, the cinema is there in the form somehow, like the form transmits the content.
You both use sound in interesting ways as well, Carlos, whether it's the position of the microphone, the sound of the environment, or the choice of music. What role does sound have in the story you're telling and how the audience perceives it?
It's extremely powerful. You could even if you wanted to cheat, like sound would really take you far away. You know, it is the main. It's like the dress for everything that is happening. Everything that happens that we see, that we experience, is always surrounded in sound in this planet. And because we don't know where it's coming from necessarily, or it's just like, that's why we say an atmosphere, it's just coming from all over the place. It does put us in a state of mind, usually. It's always there, but we don't notice it as clearly as we do with what we can see. Like there's not this dictatorship of the object or the forms in front of you that become concepts. The sound is just there in a much more hidden way. So if you pay attention to it, you can do a lot with it. And yes, definitely cinema comes together with sound. I think cinema technically is born only when sound comes to it, because this is the moment it really looks so much like, or feels so much like, experiencing being alive, you know, just being here, being around.
Natalia, I want to talk about the role of an editor in a movie. It's a role that often fades into the background, but I imagine there's a lot of your imprint on the films that you've edited.
Yeah, it depends always on the director. I think that there are directors that have a real clarity about and visualize their films, and they are looking for something very specific. And they are directors that don't know. They pass through the editing as a process of searching and trying to find their vision and trying to find their language and trying to find their own desires there. So it really depends on the director. I think, of course, there are all kinds of films, and they are films that belong to a very unique and particular vision of one human being. And there are films also that are not transmitting a particular vision, but transmitting a story, more commercial films as we know them. So sometimes your imprint is very radical, and sometimes not. It depends definitely on the film. But the process is fantastic, because is the moment when the film is constructed, like the union between shots and the ideas born, the ideas of the film and the film. Born again, it first born in the mind of the director, and then born again in the editing room.
I have to ask you both, and I'm sure you get asked this all the time, how do you work together as a couple and as a professional partnership? How do you share ideas but still find kind of your own creative space within that relationship, Carlos?
I think creatively, the responsibility for what we do is really individual, for the best and the worst. It's more than working together, because you know, my last film, I didn't edit with Natalia, but it And her film, she really wrote it on by herself and did the editing by herself. A few times I gave her my point of view, but as an audience member in all the tests she was doing and that kind of thing. So it's more like a relational, not even a collaboration, just a relational phenomenology, you know, like we're sharing everyday life, and therefore some of that goes for cinema. And there we exchange impressions and feelings and that kind of thing. So it's like a mirror thing in everyday life rather than a proper collaboration on films, like technically, like a creative collaboration of two individuals. That it's less of that. It's like, I think we really accept this individual responsibility of making a film within a group because we're creating collectively, but the responsibility artistically, we know, well, at least I know, I think it's only individual.
Well, Carlos and Natalia, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you in the drawing room, and fantastic to hear how deeply and how profoundly you think and meditate about your craft. Congratulations on your work.
Thank you, Andy.
Carlos Regadas and Natalia López Gallardo have been my guests here in the drawing room. Robe of Gems is screening as part of the Melbourne International Film Festival.
You've been listening to a podcast of The Drawing Room with me, Andy Park. For more great conversations, search for The Drawing Room on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.